Welcome to the People Behind the Profession podcast series. I'm Samantha Russo, multimedia content specialist for Mission Critical magazine. In this series, we shine a spotlight on the talented individuals who form our technical advisory board. Mission Critical's technical advisory board is composed of industry professionals who choose to share their expertise, guidance, and knowledge with the magazine's editorial staff, as well as the readers. In this episode, we are speaking with Allison Bowen. Allison is president of Algotech Data Center Services and is in charge of business development of Midas Immersion Cooling. She has been working with enterprise data centers for over 25 years. Over the last few years, she switched her focus from design and build services to energy efficient solutions, specifically immersion cooling. Bowen is a member and speaker for the Telecommunications Industry Association, the Edge Data Center Working Group, and the Smart Buildings Working Group. She is also a member of the Industrial Internet Consortium and recently acknowledged for her successes in our Top 25 Women in Tech column. Allison, welcome to the broadcast. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about what you do and what you're currently working on?
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. And I'm so excited to be, you know, you guys' first on this. And I'm thrilled to still be in this industry for 28 years. And I make a lot of jokes about being the OG of the DC, old girl of the data center. but it is truthful. And I really embrace it. I feel so thankful to just be in this industry. And I made a kind of a little joke at Data Center World in Austin that sometimes being in the critical environments, and we all talk to our family, and if you're working in data centers, you know that. But then when you start talking to family members or whatever, and they have no idea what a data center is, or more or less what you might do to help, the critical environment that a data center is and keeping it, you know, up and running and all the things that go with it. And so I like to revert back to the man behind the curtain. And I do feel like there's a little bit of us in the industry that feel like we are the man or woman behind the curtain, making this run so smoothly that people don't realize. I mean, what is the cloud? Well, you know, we could give you a monologue for 30 minutes, but you don't need to worry we don't need to worry about that, because, you know, the people that are keeping it running is the important part behind the cloud, you know, behind the curtain kind of thing. So, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. And I imagine that it's kind of difficult to break down what the critical industry is in just a sentence.
Yeah, no, I think so. Especially for me, who can never do anything in one sentence. So
do you have anything that you're currently working on that you're really excited about?
Well, you know, I alluded to all the time about immersion cooling. It seems it is my passion. And it's only because I just was really thrilled a few years ago to become a certified DCEP, Data Center Energy Practitioner. That's with the Department of Energy. And I set upon that journey in about 2016, and really exciting program where they really truly are trying to have us think outside the box. When you think of data centers and energy efficiency in 2016, it was somewhat of an oxymoron. There wasn't even an energy efficient, uninterruptible power supply that was available at that time. So it's really come a long way, and, you know, trying to help my customers make their data center more energy efficient. There is some low hanging fruit that they can do and upgrading some mechanical equipment, but it set me on a path to keep thinking forward. And I was introduced to immersion cooling technology. And even though there was 100% no real major place for it then, I really think it is the very near future. And not so when you think future, you're like, oh, 10 years. No, I think we are rolling that back to within the next 2 to 5 years. You're going to see a very strong acceptance of liquid cooling technologies in the data center. And when I say acceptance, that's because there is still a lot of pushback for those kind of technologies. When you bring water into your data center, there's a lot of fear. So interesting. I was just on a meeting with, a very HPC IEEE group. And that's part of the Sandia National Lab and the Department of Energy. And they said, this was a quote that was listed. And I said, boy, this, if this doesn't sum up what we all are thinking right now, I don't know what is, which is that no one ever gets fired from using too much energy in a data center, but they do get fired for the data center going down. So right now, that is the huge focus, is to making everyone feel that this can move forward and there can be a place for this, but there's no risks. And that is really what the big focus is right now. So it's really interesting for me to be here, which I feel is, you know, like I said, being the OG of the DC and being able to really help maybe have some acceptance for this for the future. Maybe not so much while I'm here still, but the next gen of people working in this space. So
yeah, I mean, it's really amazing that, you know, you had the ability to be in this group of people who are thinking outside the box, like you said. And what outcome came from that, I think is really just, it speaks for itself in terms of like what it means to let people be creative in fields that are very, I would say, rigid in certain ways. And yeah, thank you so much. That's such a fun and really amazing thing to think about as the industry is just growing so rapidly. Like 2016, it doesn't seem so long ago, but in terms of what the industry has done in that time, it's like a millennium.
Absolutely. When I was at Data Center World AFCOM in Austin, there was a young man, and he was a mechanical engineer, obviously just graduated from college, and he was kind of just really looking at this server in the immersion cooling fluid, and the fact that it's running is just kind of mind-blowing because it's in a liquid. And he you know, had never seen it before. He's probably like 26 or something. And I said, you're going to remember the first person that showed you this technology. Just remember me, you know, because you're going to be, you know, in this industry as a mechanical engineer. And in 20 years, it's going to be very common in data centers. And you're going to, you know, always say, hey, this old gal showed me this. And I love that. I love that. If I can be a little bit of the future, I love just thinking about it like that. But for, you know, for sustainability, energy efficiency, water usage, oh my goodness, all the things that we need to be very conscientious of our planet right now, it really is, I don't just do it to sell some new technology. I honestly am passion for it. I mean, we can do air all day long, and you know, I can build air cooled data centers all day long. This is actually a passion of mine because of, you know, we're going to run out of these things, and we need to be conscientious of what we're doing to our planet. And you know, all corny things aside, it truly does matter. You know, how much water usage, just the water usage point. If we don't look at anything else, that's a major reason to look outside of the box for new technologies. Yes, we can cool it. We can keep blowing air, but goodness, do we need to do that? So just some things like that worth thinking about anyway. So.
Absolutely. And I think that more that it's talked about in interviews and podcasts like this, there are going to be a lot of people who are like, oh, how is this going to help? And then look into it and see that it's going to make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
What led you to becoming a member of Mission Critical's Technical Advisory Board?
Okay, so I kind of got to go back, you know, 27 years. So of course, being Alcatex Data Center Design and Build, I was one of very, very, very few women in the space. The trade shows back then were not the AFCOMs. In fact, some of the old people in the group in this industry will remember the iTech shows, and they were very, you know, very fun, very important. Still run into some of the same people that were attending shows 25 years ago. And for me, it was not a big space for women. I would be one. About 10, maybe 10% of the group would be women at the time. It's so wonderful to see the changes come about. So I think, as you know, one of the people that have seen this really just be a beautiful thing to see more and more and more and more women. Now we have great women events. We didn't have those, you know. I wish we had. I should have got those going years ago. But it just is such a dynamically different thing. So to just be a part of the Mission Critical board really is so wonderful for me. Very fulfilling to just say, hey, you know, look, we can do this as women. We can make a difference. And spent a lot of time supporting men, and there are so many wonderful and smart men that I've been surrounded with for 28 years, and I thank them for everything they've done. But there is a great, women can be, you know, as much as that in this industry, and that's great for me to see. So
absolutely. And having a woman as powerful and outspoken as yourself on the technical advisory board just encourages that diversity. Diversity of knowledge and thinking and personality, that's extremely important, especially for a magazine who's covering this industry so, you know, closely. Jumping back a little bit farther, even farther than we just jumped back, okay. What led you to the critical industry? What led you to wanting to be involved in data centers?
So, you know, like a lot of women, I have an interesting story. You know, I went to college. I got a degree in business because I think for some reason that's what, you know, my generation thought we should do, you know. So, yeah, it was. And I actually thought I was going to work in the legal field. And that lasted about a hot minute for me because I could not stand, you know, just, you know, I dreaded that, honestly. So I decided to do something different, and my first jump into technology was actually with cell phones. I know that's funny, but what happened is I started selling cell phones. I had a business degree from college, but I started selling cell phones, it was such. I had no idea how they worked, had no clue, like what makes this cell phone work. But fast forward to, but what I did find is I love to talk to people. I'm kind of a talker, people will know. And so it really told me what I wanted to do in life. Took a little bit of a break, had some babies. So actually my husband is my business partner, and he worked in the critical environment industry, in data centers. He is a master electrician. And so in 1995, that's when we decided this really is such a great industry, and it really is something. It just caught my attention, and I would be, you know, home with the babies, and he would come home from doing something great in a data center, and I would say, well, tell me what you did today, and he would start telling me all this stuff, and it was just so intense and so deep, and I wanted to learn more, and I'm not a technical person, but I really wanted to understand what makes that whole thing tick. And again, that whole, you know, man behind the curtain idea was just so fascinating to me. So we just jumped in and said, let's just do this. And it became just a beautiful story, and I love it. We've went through so many. When I heard about colocation in probably about 1999, I was like, what's a colo? I didn't even, you know. So I've got to see this whole thing kind of come and really just bloom from, providing some of the first UPSs that people don't even remember the name of. Dell Tech actually was the first UPS I ever sold, to being where I am now. It's just been such a passion. I'm not a technical person. I'm really not. I don't have a mechanical or electrical degree. It really is just me, and that's why I want to encourage more women now to really jump in and do that, because I think we sometimes are our own limitations. Like, I thought I was going to sit behind a desk and do be business administration, which I'm not even sure what I thought I was going to do with that. But yeah.
Oh my gosh. That is an amazing story. I don't know what a colo is. I'm gonna but that's okay. That's okay. You know, and not being a technical person or having the credentials of a technical person, you seem to have a mind that is just curious. And that curiosity led you and your husband into amazing things. Like that is such a wholesome origin story, you know?
No. So people say, what is Alcatex? So this is a secret, and I'm going to blow it out for you guys. Okay. Nice. So, all right. So they were like, what does Alcatex stand for? And so it's Allison and Carl in Texas. And so, yeah, I know it. It's corny. But then my grandfather, who's passed, he said, does it stand for alcoholics in Texas? I said, no, Grandpa, it stands for Allison and Carl. I know. But 28 years, it has lasted, and it's just been such a wonderful ride. It really has. And just to, you know, to be able to say, well, we're still here and we're still hanging in there. And now to see, like I said, it take on this whole new life with the liquid cooling and you know, the hybrid things that are happening in data centers and taking old data centers and retrofitting them to the newer, more energy efficient data centers. You know, that I couldn't ask for a better story. And so, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, that is a fantastic, like, I'm just sitting here kind of admiring just how well working with someone that you love and you're married to, and also just like sharing that, but it's so adorable, really.
Well, people don't realize we're married about half the time, and sometimes people this is another funny thing. So over the years, people would think they'll say, you know, I will say, they actually thought that sometimes we weren't married to each other, but they were like, what's going on between the two of you? Because there's,
they kind of like,
and we're like, you only, if we only told you, no. Hold on, 7 children, 9 grandchildren. That's what's been going on.
I love it. So what advice would you give to young women entering the industry right now?
Go all the way to the top. Do not hide behind men, and which I have been, you know, guilty of. I thought that, you know, for the first 10 years, I thought, oh, my job is to support. You know, what can I do to support? You know, and that's great. There is a wonderful need. Support is always you know, needed. Oh, he doesn't like to do paperwork, I'll do the paperwork, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So I hid a lot behind, you know, thinking I wasn't, like I said, I'm not technical, I'm not a mechanical or electrical engineer. And, you know, I would pick up something, again, a very technical, and I might have to read it 3 times, I'm not joking, to understand and absorb. What are we talking about here? But just keep on moving, because I think there is a really this is a wonderful space. And, you know, these people in this industry, we're changing the world. And it's kind of, like I said, if you know that you know that you know, great. But and it's a wonderful place to be. So take the lead and jump in there. And, you know, I've had to get past, I do this little video cast thing and, you know, on LinkedIn and YouTube and you know, I'm not the youngest girl in the room and I'm not the smartest girl in the room by far, but I just decided I'm not going to have any fear anymore. I'm going to talk. And if somebody thinks that they don't agree with what I'm saying or they have a different opinion, okay, no problem. But just don't be afraid.
I love that. I think that's going to be... that's going to be the video. I think that's it. Great. That was a fantastic answer.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
I think that's going to inspire a lot of people, a lot of women in the industry. Ah. You are doing so many amazing things right now. What do you do to decompress after a long day?
Oh, goodness. Well, I am not. Okay. Well, I am a big wine lover. So yeah, a nice glass of wine. The ocean is my thing. If I can get a chance to go on vacation, it's going to be some beach somewhere. But I also love to cook. And, you know, this last weekend, I don't think this is considered decompressing, but this last weekend, I hosted 40 people at my home for my son is getting married in September. And we had a wedding shower. And it was just so lovely. And so my idea of having a great weekend is entertaining and, you know, you know, having people over, and we just had some most beautiful time, but there was 40 people. And so, I don't think that's considered decompressing, but I love, that's actually, they say, what's your love language? I think my love language is cooking. But again, I mentioned 7 children, 9 grandchildren. So we're quite the herd anyway. So we're a big group. So yeah, wonderful things, just taking care of the grandbabies. And I've been able to go on vacation a couple times by myself, but then I'm always just like thinking of the kids. So for me, if I've got the kids and the grand surrounding, I'm in my happy place. So.
Oh, that's very sweet. So your love language is food. What is your personal favorite food or cuisine or like type of food to eat? And then what is your favorite to cook for someone else?
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, so wine doesn't count, right? Okay, so, oh my goodness. Well, I do, I love a good gelato. I love, I'm really actually a very healthy eater. I know that sounds strange, but I'm avocado and sweet potatoes and love a good brunch, love a good mimosa with a brunch, you know, and that's my thing. As far as what I like to cook or what my kids and my family like to eat are probably 2 different things. So most requested are biscuits and gravy and lasagna. So that's, if we're at the lake, we have a little lake house, and if I'm at the lake and I'm cooking, and if I decide I'm not going to cook biscuits and gravy, you know, this weekend, I'm just not going to do it. You would think that, I mean, you would like, it's almost like sacrilegious according to the kid. You didn't cook biscuits and gravy? What were you thinking? And I was like, geez, okay, sorry. So yeah, it's kind of has to be done. So
I'm just having flashbacks to me and my brother, like reacting in the same way on the weekends, like, where's our big breakfast with hash browns and corned beef hash and eggs and toast and all the good stuff?
Yeah. Breakfast is a big deal. Well, and when I say breakfast, I don't mean it early. We're more of brunch eaters. So it's like about that, like 10:30 times.
So what's your favorite to cook? Like, do you have a favorite recipe? Like, even if your family doesn't want to eat it.
Probably lasagna. I think that's like my favorite thing to do. I can almost do it in my sleep now. And so it's kind of my go-to. I can do it and get it thrown in. It's just such a comfort food and it's people pleasing. And I know it's 100 degrees here in Texas right now. And so sometimes we do burgers, but everyone said, no, let's do lasagna. So, okay, fine. We'll do lasagna. So that one, I really do love to cook that. I think that's, I want to be a baker. I wish I was a baker. But I'm not. So, you know, there's bakers and cooks. I'm not a baker. I would love
like chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. So maybe when I retire, I'll be a baker because I love pie. But, you know, that's a lot. There's a lot of work. So I want to be able to be a good pie baker. But right now, I'll just take it. I'm a good cook. So
if you're a good cook, I think it'll be transferable skills.
Yeah, I think so.
So let's see. Do you have any secret talents or interesting hobbies?
So I have 11 dogs, and I know it's a lot, but we have a lot of acreage. And so I have 11 dogs, 8 German Shepherds, and then 3 little things that stay inside, a 14-year-old dachshund. So she's, I know it. She's toothless. And so I think, besides that's a big, 11 dogs, that's a hobby in itself. It was kind of accidental. I have 4 German Shepherds and then we had a litter of puppies so, on accident. But now we're not having any more. And so, yeah, that was a fun adventure. I just recently raised puppies from birth and then I couldn't get rid of any of them. So now I have 8, I don't have much other time for hobbies. I feel I have 2 jobs, 7 children, 9 grandchildren. I will say I'm going to Italy in September. That's where my son is getting married. And we're going to be gone 18 days. And it was my bucket list for practically my whole life. I've never been to Europe, so I'm so excited about that. Somehow my son and his fiance chose to get married in Italy, and it's a small little castle in Umbria. So I couldn't be more over the moon. So I'm so excited about that.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Also, you're like a mind reader, because one of my last questions is going to be, what are your top three bucket list items?
That was one of them.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And so I've actually got to already kind of check one of the major bucket list items off my list, which is me and my husband celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary last year. And my children pitched in and got us a week at this little beach villa in St. John, Virgin Islands. And we stayed there for a week, and I didn't do anything but just sat on that beach for a week. So that was one. And so, to make it 30 years and sat on a beach for a week, that was all I wanted. And we didn't even go eat out in that light. We cooked our own lobster tail, and I don't think we moved from the beach, like, really. We just didn't even eat. But that was one. And then, of course, this trip to Italy is number two. And, I don't know. If I had a third one, bucket list, if we're talking trips, bucket list is probably, I feel like I want to go to Bora Bora someday. And if I can make it to those three, then then that's it. You know, I'm kind of round it out pretty soon. So,
oh, I love that. Those are great answers.
Say, I told you some beach somewhere. That's the only, Oh, and so in Italy, we're going to the Amalfi Coast, and we're going to go tour Pompeii. And I feel like I've watched the History Channel my entire life and seen Pompeii, and just to think that I'm going to get to go do that. And then afterwards, we're going to eat lunch at a vineyard at the bottom of Mount Vesuvius. So who gets to do that in their lifetime? And I'm going to do that. So yeah, I know. I'm so excited.
Sounds like a lot of decompressing is just looking forward to these things.
I know. Yeah.
That's so great. I'm really happy.
And you know what? I've heard people that retired, and then, we work ourselves to death. And my grandparents were one. They worked themselves, and then they never got to go and do anything. And so if you read through people that have gotten to retirement age, and then they say, take the trip, do it while you can, do not wait too long. So life is so short. I think if we don't have any other lessons from COVID, let's all remember life is short. So yeah, I mean, I'm going to take 18 days, and I'm going to walk around Italy, and I'm sure my feet are going to ache. I'm going to eat too much gelato. I'm going to drink too much wine. But you know what? It's going to be something that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. So I guess if that's my last two cents is, we take it, do it while you can. Don't wait. And that's what my son and them, that's what they've been to Japan by themselves. They've been to Ireland by themselves. They were the ones that decided to not have this big, elaborate wedding at home and us go to Italy. So just don't wait too long. So,
oh my gosh, thank you so much. That's such wonderful advice. It really is. So to end the interview, I have one last big question. What are a few causes that are really close to your heart that you'd like to just take a little bit of time to speak about?
So I think more than anything, Alzheimer's. And that's because my grandmother passed away from that. And I believe that we have so many opportunities to do more research. She was the smartest. She raised me, and she was just the smartest, happiest. I'm very loud. I'm a very loud person, just in general. I can't help it. My grandmother was the loudest person in the room, but it was in such a joyful way that I never look at being loud as a negative. But to watch her, the smartest person, the most beautiful, she had the singing voice of an angel. She sang in church. She was a Pentecostal preacher. And to see her lose her mind, and there's no other way to say it, not be able to speak and not be able to write read or even watch TV, it is the most horrendous thing to watch that you can imagine. If you've lost someone like that, you know what I'm saying. So for me, I don't have a lot of time to spend on things. And of course, but that's one of the big ones there. I think that, you know, I support it and I love that when other people support it, because we need to find out what can help and what can, you know, they can only manage it. They really can't cure it. They can only manage it. You can stop it somewhat in its tracks now, from progressing too quickly, but they have to catch it really early. So that, if I have one thing to say, that's the one. So
thank you. Thank you so much. There is a book by Jonathan Franzen titled How to Be Alone, and it's a collection of essays. And the first essay is about coping with his father, who had Alzheimer's, and how it had progressed. And it was really eye-opening for me because, I mean, at that point, I think it was 18, and I didn't really know much about the disease and how much it changes a person. So yeah. I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh, thank you. She's been gone 13 years, but you still, you know, when there's some people, yeah, there's some people that you just never, ever, you know, they're with you all the time. And, you know, but it is just probably, I mean, I know there's a lot of brutal ways to pass and, you know, I guess I always try to take some kind of comfort in the fact that she wasn't in any pain, but I think that, losing, you know, for especially such a strong woman as her, you know, just to lose all of that ability is just, it's just absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something that deserves way more attention. Mm-hmm. So I'm really glad that you brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So we'll close out the interview.
All right. Well,
Allison, thank you so much for sparing some time out of your busy schedule to speak with us here at Mission Critical. It's been an excellent, excellent interview. So fun talking with you as always.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And like I said, you know, if anything else, I'm a talker. So, but you have been such a pleasure to speak with. And anytime you guys need anything, I'm here around. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining in on this discussion. We hope you enjoyed Allison Bowen kicking off Mission Critical's brand new series, People Behind the Profession. You'll be hearing more from industry experts from our technical advisory board and taking a look at who the people behind the curtain are. Again, I'm Samantha Russo for Mission Critical Magazine, and I'll see you next time.